Light in this present darkness, this is Abounding Grace. Stumbling about in the darkness? Join us now for a time of light in the Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
So very grateful you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We're concluding our study today in 2 Timothy chapter 2 as we look at a useful workman in the Lord, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, useful in our service to the Master. The striking thing about this section is that the Apostle Paul's warning against certain vessels, certain people in the church who are not so useful. In fact, he has warned against them. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of a certain kind who've strayed concerning the truth, and they overthrow the faith of some. In the midst of this, the Lord has encouraged the church, and here the apostle cites something, remember, that was out of the book of Numbers in the Korah rebellion, that the Lord knows those who are his, and that we have to recognize in any given church that in a great house there are vessels of gold and silver, but that there are also vessels of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. There are those who are immensely useful to the Lord in his church, in his kingdom. And there are those who do nothing but kick up dirt everywhere. There are those who seep in sewage right into the church. And the Apostle Paul's warning of this, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Paul warned, and in 2 Timothy chapter 4, that in the last days, dangerous seasons will come. We have these dangerous seasons that come and go. And he also wept day and night to the church in Ephesus that false teachers, people would rise up from among themselves who would draw away disciples after themselves. Everything the church today is so light and there's so little doctrinal commitment. We are ripe for this stuff to happen. So here we are. We're considering how the Lord is challenging the church leaders to be useful for the Lord. He has encouraged a pure fellowship, that if there are those defiling the body of Christ, we are to avoid these kinds of people in the church. He says that here. If anyone cleanses himself from these vessels of dishonor, he will be useful. Second, we are to have a pure life. We are to flee desires and lusts that are contrary to what is and what should be a good servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pursuing, as he says here, righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Well, today I want to conclude with one final way of being useful for the Master. And I sum it up this way. We should serve Christ in his church with a pure motive. This is verse 23. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Now, this is something he already said. I charge you, charge them not to strive about words, to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. So there are certain disputes in the life of the church, debates that do nothing but generate strife. This is something he already said. Endless debate. Know people like that? Over some particular word. We know this. People have divided and started whole denominations over word battles. A word means this, and you can't say the word means this. And you know what? They get around. This is the whole basis for the existence of their church. It's a word battle over some particular phrase, over some particular word, and all they sit around and do, all they write about is that. They do nothing but interpret the word of God into oblivion. They dispute. They love the argument. They love the fight. And they make everyone feel that if you don't buy into their own little interpretation on some fine little point of doctrine, some little fine word interpretation, you are not part of the true fellowship, part of the true church, the true doctrine. Usually, as they fence the law, they end up superimposing new laws upon the law so as to raise nothing but unprofitable debate and confusion among Christians. This happens all the time. I know church bodies that exist on this controversy. All they want to do is engage you in discussion, and we come through these movements, these dangerous seasons, and they want to act like, hey, we're all just in the house. Paul said to Timothy in verse 15, your responsibility is to be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed. So your responsibility is not to degenerate into the common sewage that these trash heaps raise up in the church and constantly spew. Don't let, as one pastor said, the sewage of ideas pollute the clear and plain teaching of the scriptures. And this is really an encouragement because the elders are given to protect and to preserve. Paul says this, rightly dividing the word of truth, cutting it straight. So in other words, you are to cut straight to the people the word of truth. You are to handle it properly, which means that in any given passage, there is such a clear sense of the meaning of the text that everyone who hears that word as it was preached, as it was given, should walk away knowing without any measure of doubt that what was said was approved by God himself because of the clear presentation and rightly dividing of the word of truth. This is really important. Today, nothing's clear. Today, pastors have their agendas and they force their topics into the text. You should note this, dear listener. If your pastor is approaching it by raising what he wants to talk about and fitting in a few verses here and there like a fortune cookie into what he wants to say, that is not properly dividing the word of truth. God has determined what needs to be said. The pastor is a workman of the text, clearly presenting the meaning of the text, cutting straight the text, working hard and handling the word correctly, not by manipulation, not abusively, but saying clearly whatever God has already inspired. It's a very simple mandate. It's a very simple calling. Preach the word in season and out of season. Now, but what happens when the faith of people is being overthrown by those who aren't cutting the word straightly? What happens when the vessels of honor disrupt the body and wreak havoc in the church? There's a fine line here. Paul says, I delivered Hymenaeus to Satan that he may not learn to blaspheme. Elders have to correct. Elders have to discipline. That's our responsibility. If we've never seen discipline in the life of the church, that's a sign of a false church. But we never descend into a discussion with this stuff as if it's okay. Our Lord overturned tables. Paul withstood Peter to the face. And yet, through it all, as zealous as we are for the truth, we can never forget the goal of correction. Notice what he says. This is verse 24. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those in opposition, if perhaps God will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. I understand why he says this. We fail at this. When conflict happens, then the leaders are attacked. People don't realize this, but intense bitterness can easily overcome you. As a church leader, I've learned this. You can't let it happen. The wrath of man never produces the righteousness of God. We should always greatly honor those in authority over us with all submission. letting them do our work with what? Joy and not with grief, because that would be unprofitable for you. When attacked, leadership easily becomes abusive. Here the Lord is saying, we have to be patient, remembering the goal, that only the Lord brings about true repentance in the heart. We can't change hearts. Too often, leaders and pastors are trying to do it themselves. And the purpose and intent of the Lord here is often left out. The Lord is calling servants, is calling the church to a pure motive in shepherding those in error. The goal is restoration. The goal is repentance. Have you ever thought about the reality here that 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26 says? I want you to listen to this very carefully. It is an amazing statement. He says that there are actually people in the church who have been taken captive by the devil to do his will. Listen, I say this because it's the application of the text. If you are the focus of constant admonishment by the leaders because of your behavior, because of your actions, you need to realize this reality, that the devil who spreads a net may have caught you, and you've been taken captive by the devil to do his will. If you are the constant focus of admonishment of the elders, you need to realize you may have been taken captive by the devil to do his will. Do you think those who are taken captive see it? That's why you have elders. That's why you're given leaders to help people be released from that net he has spread. This is the reality going on in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a battle. It's a church fighting for the truth, to plunder souls from death, to be useful for the master, that we might work for the work for the Lord of glory, to advance his truth. Let me close with this today. The driving force behind all of this comes back to what Paul said in verse 14. Remind them of these things. What are the these things? Verse 8 tells us, remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead, according to my gospel, for which I suffer. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. He was raised, dear listener. This is where our strength comes. Because he's risen, he has a church. And until he comes and brings an end to sin, we wage the warfare, knowing that the solid foundation of God stands. The Bible, contrary to our culture today, uses the names of people. It's not afraid to confront people by name. In this passage, two names were given. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. They've strayed concerning the truth. These were vessels of dishonor. At the end of 2 Timothy, verse 12, the apostle says this, get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me in the ministry. I want you to ponder this for a minute. Mark was useful. These two were not useful. If the Lord were to write another epistle about the church you attend, what if your name made it into that epistle? And what if it said this? What name would it say? What would it say behind your name? That person is of that sort. They've strayed. Or what about this? Your name. That person is useful for the Lord in the ministry. I pray today, because Christ is raised, that everyone in his church would be immensely useful for the master. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church with the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.